Amen. I appreciate that. I want you to take the Word of God and turn over to the book of Haggai in chapter 2. The book of Haggai, chapter number 2. Now, you're not supposed to be envious. I know that. But here in this singing around here, I'm a little envious. Jealous. I'm just kidding, because I put both of these people to shame when it comes to singing. I'm just kidding with you. We appreciate you being here. God bless you. Wasn't it great to see the house filled this morning? Amen. We praise God for that. Give Him all the glory. We want here whatever God wants. Haggai chapter 2, verse 20. We've been studying through the book of Haggai together, and we've come to the last section of this glorious book. Just two chapters, but what a mighty book it is. And I trust it'll be a help to you this evening. The Word of God says, and again, the Word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. And the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet. For I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. If you're like me, at first reading, you're like, what in the world is that talking about? But as I study through this, it has come alive in my own heart and life. And I want to preach to you tonight on this subject. When you need encouragement. When you need encouragement. Let's pray together. I want to share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the shed blood of Christ. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for the promise of your soon coming. I pray that you forgive my sins, help me to be clean. And I pray as we stand here in front of these people that you take full control of my mouth, my mind, my heart, my actions, my words. May the will of God be done. Help me to be clean. May you defeat Satan, his evil spirit, and speak to us. Encourage your children. If somebody's lost here tonight, may the night be the glorious night when they say yes to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this book that only has two chapters, we've seen how applicable it is to us today. For instance, in chapter 1, we saw how the people were placing their own wants and desires above the Lord's will for their lives. And as a result of this, the Lord was not allowing His blessings to be upon their efforts. In the midst of their sin, of putting their own lives above God's pleasure and God's will, the Lord sent a stirring among the people that helped the people put their priorities back in order, putting the Lord first. Then in chapter 2, we've considered how when the people began to work on the Lord's house, again, discouragement hit them. And oftentimes, this is when discouragement comes. When you decide to go God's way, watch out, because discouragement is right around the corner. However, the Lord helped them through this by giving them His presence, His promises, and His peace to hold on to. Then in verses 10 to 19 in chapter 2, we've already discussed and considered and preached the message that even though they have been moved by God's Spirit in their midst and they're doing the work of God, and they were trying to do it though with dirty hands. And this caused the chastening of the Lord to fall in order to get them to point where I'm talking about to get them to the point to where He could bless them and truly use them the way He wanted to. Now that brings us up to date to where we are now in chapter 2, verse number 20. In these verses, we see the final words of this glorious book penned for our learning and admonition. And these words are directed at a man by the name of Zerubbabel. Now, in these verses, at first glance, like I've already said, you may be wondering, what in the world is this saying? But by the end of this message, you'll all see just how relevant it is to our own lives today. Zerubbabel was the civil and the political leader of the people at this time. And no doubt, in the midst of everything that was taking place, he needed encouragement. After all, in context, like we've already preached three sermons prior to this, in the midst of the chastening of the Lord in chapter 2, verses 10 to 19, we see that there was no rain coming from the sky, and there was no crops coming from the ground. And the wonderful thing about this, though, is that when this one man, Zerubbabel, needed encouragement, this leader, if you will, one single man, God stepped in and cared for him,
God stepped in and knew about what he was going through and how he was feeling. And you know, it's a comfort to me as I'm introducing this to you tonight that God cares about the masses, but on top of that, God cares about the individual. He cares about you tonight. He loves you as an individual. And there are times in all of our individual lives that things aren't going the way we would choose for them to go. So many things can cause us to become discouraged. By the way, if you don't need this message tonight, you will need it. So you better pay close attention to me. And at this time when discouragement hits us, the wicked one will try to whisper in your ear that no one cares and nobody knows. But I've got news for you. There is somebody who cares. There is somebody who knows. And his name is God Almighty. He loves you tonight. He cares about you tonight. He knows what you're going through. And whenever you're discouraged, he is the great encourager. And I'm glad in our song book in page number 89, there's a song that says, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for mirth and song. As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long." It says, "Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades and the deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart ache till it nearly breaks, is it aught to him, does he see?" And the chorus goes, "Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." I told you I put these people to shame when I sing. Yeah, you all knew that, didn't you? You didn't know that, did you today? But you do now, no doubt about it. I'm glad to announce to you tonight, folks, that he cares. And when you need encouragement, keep in mind, in context, he's speaking to one man. He said, "Take the message to Zerubbabel." One man. And that one man or woman could be you tonight. In a crowd this size, there's no doubt that there's many discouraged hearts. No doubt in my mind. No doubt. Some of you have walked in here very discouraged tonight. I want to help you. I want to give you four things from these four verses right here, three or four verses, that you need to do when you need encouragement. When you need encouragement, four things to do. Number one, the first thing to do is receive his word. We see this in verses 20 all the way down through 23. This is God speaking to Haggai, and he says, "I've got a personal message for Zerubbabel," and he speaks. He says, "Tell him these things." Look at verse number 21. "Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and the riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts." It's amazing to me to see throughout Scripture that when one of God's servants needed encouragement, how the Lord steps in time and time again and simply speaks to them. This is what he did here for Zerubbabel. He knew what he was going through and how he was feeling. Therefore, he sent his word through his prophet Haggai to encourage his servant. And there's two things about God's word here I want you to see. First of all, under this, it was timely. What do I mean by timely? I mean by timely that the Lord knew exactly when to speak to Zerubbabel. This was the time he needed God to step in and speak to him. And in the same way, folks, get this, God knows when you need something from him. God knows when you're to a point in your life where you've got to have him speaking to you. And if you'll listen to him and get in the word of God faithfully, he'll speak to you in a very timely manner. There's no doubt about this. And what I mean by this is that this is one reason why you and I need to spend time every day reading the Bible, spend time every day meditating in Scripture. Because when you are discouraged, he knows what you need. He'll have you where he wants you. And if you let him speak to you, he'll speak peace to your heart. I'm reminded when Our daughter, Jalen, her head was getting a little bit too big physically. Not spiritually. I hope that never happens, you know. But physically, her head was getting a little big. Her head was in the 95th percentile, and her body was in the normal percentile. And I had my wife to probe the nurses and ask them, what does that mean? Her head's big. What's that mean? And I remember when I came home, my wife told me, she said, Jody, they said worst case scenario that it could be brain damage. Now we've learned from here, now on this side of it, you understand we realized that wasn't the case, but when we first heard that floored us. Absolutely floored us. And I went to God and I begged God to speak to me. I begged him. And I've learned something in my short life. I'm talking about age. I've learned something in my life, and what I've learned is this. When I need God to speak, He always does. I just so happened to be in Psalm 46 that day. That day just so happened to be in Psalm 46. And I began to read, and I just begged God. We had just heard this news. I was begging God to speak to me, and here's what I read. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High. And then when I got to verse number 5, God nailed me right between the eyes. Keep in mind, it's our daughter, it's our baby girl. And here's what verse 5 says. Now I know it's talking about the city of God, but just bear with me here. I needed God to speak to me about my baby girl. God wanted to speak to me in that time. And what a timely word it was. When I read verse 5, here's what it says. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. When I read that, I realized God was speaking to me. And that's all I needed. That didn't mean I wasn't scared. That didn't mean I wasn't troubled. But the peace of God flooded me and showed me I'm in the midst of her. I will help her. I will take care of her. That's all I needed, folks. Can I say something to you? If I didn't go to the Bible that day, I wouldn't have got that. You need to receive His word when you're discouraged. Go to the word of God. It's a timely word. Secondly, it's a gracious word. When you think about it, it really must be disheartening to our God for His children to become discouraged. Think about it. For God's child to be discouraged. Here we are lost on our way to hell, a burning flame of fire, and yet He reaches down, He saves our hell-deserving soul, and then later on down the road, we're discouraged. How disheartening that must be. After all, we have Him, and that's all we really need when you think about it. But when Zerubbabel, his servant, was discouraged, get this, he didn't scold him. He rather chose to speak to him tenderly. You know what that is? That's God's grace. When God steps in, He knows everything that's in line. He knows everything's under control. But He realizes that you're scared to death. You're discouraged. You need to be encouraged. And instead of God saying, "What's wrong with you? I'm your daddy. What's wrong with you?" He doesn't do that. He simply says, "Okay, let me give you this promise to latch on to. Let me give you this promise to latch on to. Let me talk to you in this area or this area." See, His word, you receive it. His word was not only timely, it was gracious. Acts 20:32 says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Number one, when you need encouragement, receive His word. Number two, recognize His strength. We see this in verses 21 and 22 back in our text. Notice it. Where the word of God says, "Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. And the horses and the riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother." Now in these verses, we see the Lord making clear-cut statements about what He was going to do. Now don't miss this statement. Only God can truly say, "I will," with authority. You can say, "I will," and it's no guarantee. But when God says, "I will," take it to the bank, my friend. It's going to take place. What do I mean by that? In these verses, we see the Lord, through His word, drawing Zerubbabel's attention away from his current circumstance and putting it upon Himself and what He was going to do. Now, if you'll notice with me that the Lord is stating that really in these verses, what he's saying, I'm more powerful than the heavens. I'm more powerful than the earth. I'm more powerful than the kingdoms and the chariots and the men and the animals. And in this, Zerubbabel was to take encouragement that his God is more powerful than anything he would face. In context, it's thought that what the Lord was doing was pointing Zerubbabel to the time when the Lord will come back the second time to set up his kingdom that will be supreme. Daniel 2:44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it, God's kingdom, shall stand forever. Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, while we could get into more detail here, the point I'm trying to make is not to look at prophecy. The point I'm trying to make here is that the Lord is showing Zerubbabel, his discouraged servant, he's showing him his mighty power over the affairs of life. And in the same way, when you and I need encouragement, you need to recognize that God has all power and God can help you in your despair. God is the answer to your discouragement. There's no doubt about it. Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Isaiah 26:4, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, if you're here tonight and you're discouraged, I realize I may not have a clue what you're going through, but I do have a clue about this. God is bigger than that. He's bigger than whatever it is. I don't care if it's a marriage problem. I don't care if it's an addiction problem. I don't care if it's just depression. I don't care what it is. God has more power and is stronger than that in your life. When you need encouragement, receive his word. Recognize his strength. Number three, rest in his promises. We see this in verses 21 to 23 again. I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but there's a whole lot of God saying, I will do this, I will do that, I will do this, I will do that. Sounds a whole lot like promises to me. This really ties us back to the Word of God and how he gives us wonderful promises to latch on to when we're discouraged. But in this text, I see some great promises he gave to Zerubbabel that we can all be encouraged by. In other words, he's discouraged, rain's not falling, crops aren't growing, God's chastening them. And in the middle of his discouragement, God gave him some promises to rest in. Let me give you two of them. First of all, under this, he made the promise that the enemy will be defeated. We see this in verses 21 and 22. Look at it. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Now, during this time, it must have seemed like the people would never have peace. It must have seemed like they were under the domination of others forever. However, the Lord steps in and promises Zerubbabel that it will not be like this forever. He personally steps in and says, I will defeat the enemy. That's what he's saying. Now, how do you think I'm going to apply this? In the same way, it seems as if the devil himself and his wicked regime are having their way. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth, don't you? It seems as if they're having their way. It may seem like the discouragement and the doubt and despair will haunt you forever. But let me say that the Lord has promised that he will take the enemy down and deliver us during our hour of need. My friends, you may be in the depths of despair tonight, but if you're a child of God, it's not always going to be that way. This will not last forever because there's a better day coming. And that's only true in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to turn to it for time's sake, but in the book of Revelation, chapter number 19, the Word of God tells us this. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. The beast, the false prophet, the Antichrist will be defeated. He will take them down himself. They will be cast into the lake of fire, but I'm glad it doesn't stop there. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Are you listening to me? He will defeat the enemy some glorious day. And I'm looking forward to that day. He told Zerubbabel, I will defeat the enemy. Don't rest in that. Rest in my promise. Don't look at your discouragement. Rest in my promise that I will step in. I will take your enemy down. I will deliver you. And he's given us the same promise. Secondly, he gave him a promise of this. He will preserve Zerubbabel. We see this in verse 23 of our text, where it says, in that day saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Now notice he tells Zerubbabel that he's going to make him as a signet. Now what was a signet? A signet was used in three ways. First of all, as a personal signature of a person. Secondly, to validate royal authority sealed sealed within a sealed document. And thirdly, it was a guarantee to fulfill a future promise that had been written. That's a signet. Personal signature, royal authority, and a guarantee that what he said would happen would take place. Do you see that? It was an object of constant regard. Now in this we see the Lord promising Zerubbabel that he will preserve him from all the assaults of the wicked. That even though everything else would be shaken, his kingdom will not be shaken. Now this prophecy no doubt extends to its perfect fulfillment in Christ, the true servant. Because you realize in Matthew chapter 1 that Zerubbabel is in the line of Christ. Did you know that? Zerubbabel is in the lineage of the Messiah child, Jesus Christ. And may I say to you that this promise of preservation and security is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. 2 Corinthians 1, 20 and 22, it says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Ephesians 1, 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The bottom line is, even though the enemies of our Lord will be taken down, God said, Zerubbabel, I'm going to preserve you. And in the same way, even though God's going to take the enemy down, his children he's going to preserve for all eternity. Do you see the beautiful typology of this? What a promise. Now that ought to encourage your heart. Then he gives him a fourth thing. The fourth thing he gives him I'm talking about when he needed encouragement and when you need encouragement, we need to do the same four things. Receive his word. It's timely and gracious. Recognize his strength. He's bigger than that. Rest in his promises. He's taken the enemy down and he'll take care of you all the way through it. And he gives him a fourth thing. And that is number four, remember his name. Remember his name. Look at verse number 23 of our text. This came out in my study, and this is a great thought. It says, in that day, verse 23, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, it's interesting here how he closes this book and how he closes these verses. He ends them by identifying himself with a wonderful name in the midst of these circumstances going on at this time in Zerubbabel's life. In other words, he didn't just say, saith the Lord, saith the Lord. No, he said, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, get this, a time when they're under foreign dominion, they're being ruled, and a time of famine. During this time of potential discouragement, he says, I'm the Lord of hosts. Now, what does that mean? This name, now get this, this name means the Lord of war. It means the Lord of battle or the Lord of soldiers. Now get this. In other words, it's like he's saying, Zerubbabel, in your problems, in your battles, remember I am the one who will fight for you. In your problems of discouragement, I will deliver you. Don't forget who I am. No matter what battle you're in right now, his name is the Lord of hosts. He's the answer to your problem. He's the victory to every battle. He's the joy in every discouragement. What he's telling to Zerubbabel is, I understand what you're going through. I know this is a time of war. I know this is a time of battle. And you are a soldier in the Lord's army. But I'm telling you, I am the Lord of battle. I am the God of war. I am the leader of soldiers. And what he's saying is, Zerubbabel, get your eyes off of your discouragement. Put your eyes upon me and realize who I am. And may I tell you something, folks? Like I've told you before, the devil is a master at trying to take some little problem like this and get you to focus upon it. Look how big that is. Look how shiny that is. Look at all those ridges on that. But the answer comes when you take your eyes off of that and you start lifting your eyes upward. Because as you lift your eyes upward, this comes out of focus. I can't even tell what this is now. And the further I look up, now I can't even see that. And what I'm saying to you is, take your eyes off of this, put them upon the Lord God of heaven, and this will disappear in your life. Doesn't mean it's not there. Doesn't mean it's not real. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. But you compare it to God. There is no comparison. He is the Lord of hosts. Remember his name. Don't forget who he is. He's God. He's the God of war. Zerubbabel was an individual who had been blessed by the Lord. In the midst of a time when he was potentially discouraged because of circumstances that he was living in, the Lord knew all about it and cared deeply for him. And if you're in here tonight and you're discouraged, God cares deeply about you too. And in this text, we see the Lord sharing four things with Zerubbabel to help him in his discouragement, to tell him what to do when he didn't know what to do. And in the same way, all of God's children get discouraged every now and then. Have you ever been discouraged? You're going to get there, folks. You're going to get discouraged. If you're not there now, you will be. I don't care if you are a child of God. You're going to get discouraged every now and then. And there are things that try to come in. There are things that try to rob you of your joy of the Lord in your life. And in these times of discouragement, let us apply the same four things to our lives. Receive his word. Let him speak to you. And he'll speak to you graciously and in a very timely manner. Recognize his power. Understand that no matter what it is that's attacking you, God is bigger than that. Rest in his promises, realizing that he's going to take the enemy down, but he's going to preserve you all the way through. And remember his name. This is God. This is the Lord. This is the Lord of hosts. And many of you tonight, there's no doubt in my mind, many of you tonight are in the midst of a battle. You're in the midst of a war in your own heart. War in your mind, and you don't know what to do.
I'm telling you, what you do is you receive His word. You recognize His strength. You rest in His promises. And you remember His name. And He will bring you out in His time. Now I wonder tonight, do you need this message? Some of you may not need it. Some of you may be up on cloud nine right now. The highest you've ever been, spiritually and maybe even physically. You might be up on a mountaintop saying, good night, if it gets any better, I'm just going to lose myself. But you know as well as I do that where there's a mountaintop, there's a valley. And these valleys are right around the corner. So take heed to what I said. Because if you're on the mountaintop tonight, you might be in the valley before you bed your, put your head to your pillow tonight. But is it possible that somebody's here listening to me and you're in that valley? And it seems like no matter where you look, it's coming in upon you. Remember the story of the unexpected storm when the disciples were on the ship and Jesus was on the ship and He was asleep? On the hinder part of the boat. And the Bible says that the waves covered the ship. The idea there is that when they looked to the right, they saw water. When they looked to the left, they saw water. When they looked in front of them, they saw water. When they looked behind them, they saw water. When they looked above them, they saw water. They were covered with it. Some of you all are there right now. But the great thing about the disciples in that story is that they had somebody on board with them who was even in control of the waves. And His name was Jesus. And He went to them. They went to Him, woke Him up. Master, carest thou not that we perish? It's interesting, He looked at him and said, where is your faith? Why are you so fearful? O ye of little faith. And He walks up and He says, I don't think He went, peace. I can see Him walking out and saying, peace, be still. And the Bible says there was a great calm. And they look at each other and they say, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey Him. Do you need this message tonight? Do you need encouragement? Receive His word. I'm trying to pound it into your heart, folks. Recognize His strength. Rest in His promises. Remember His name. And He'll help you through it. Amen. Let's all bow our heads together, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, we love You this evening. We praise You for who You are. We thank You that You are a good God. And I pray, our Lord, that You help us to be all that You want us to be. Draw people to Yourself. May Your will be done in our midst. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. She's beginning to play through softly. May I tell you tonight that there is no encouragement outside of being in the family of God. Only encouragement comes with the child of God and to the child of God. Somebody in our midst tonight that does not know Jesus as their Savior, let me highly recommend Him to you. He's a great God. He's been good to us. Is there one in our midst tonight you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I do not know if I know Jesus as my Savior or not. Well, maybe you know you're not saved and you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat, not going to call you out, I promise you. But I would like to pray for you. If you say, Jody, pray for me, I'm not saved, or you're concerned that you're not saved, would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? I'm looking. I know this is a Sunday night crowd. And let me ask you this. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. But if I'd be honest before God, I'd have to admit I'm discouraged. not asking what you're discouraged about. That's none of my business. But you say, Jody, if I'd be honest with you and honest with God, I would have to admit that I am a discouraged Christian tonight. Have you been an honest, discouraged Christian? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person, folks. Be honest. You say, I'm discouraged. This is me. I'm discouraged. Put it up big and high, folks. Big and high. All right, if you've got your hand raised, I want you to lower it a moment. I want you to look at me. Okay, you can put your hand down. I want you to look right up here at me. I want to tell you something. Here's where the message starts. Zerubbabel was one man. Just one man. And God cared enough to put the portion of Scripture in the Bible that He spoke just to him. What am I saying? I'm saying that whatever you're looking at me about right now, God cares about that. And He understands what you're discouraged about. He already knows. Now, just a moment, I'm going to ask every one of you to leave your place and come to this altar. You say, I don't normally do that. I'm going to ask you to do something abnormal and come to the altar. And some of you need to do, if you're not doing it, is you need to start receiving His Word. You need to get in the Bible every day of your life so God can, in a timely and gracious way, speak to you as you need it. Some of you just need to recognize His strength, that even though that may seem impossible and that is an impossible situation and there's just no hope there, that's not true. That's not true. Because anybody says there's no hope for that right there, they're limiting God. God's not limitable. Some of you may just need to latch on and rest in some of the promises that He's given you. Some of you need to be reminded to remember His name. May the Lord help you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it. Bless the service. Help it to go according to Your will. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you right now, be the first. Right now, leave your place and come to this altar. Would you do this? You say, listen, this is what I need. I want to ask every one of you who raised your hand that you're discouraged, or maybe you didn't raise your hand saying you're discouraged, but you know God is speaking to you. I want you to slip out of your place and come to this altar and ask God to help you. Ask God to be with you and constantly remind you of these four points that we shared with you tonight. May the Lord help you with this. May the Lord help you. No doubt about it. I'm going to ask Brother Edgar Gamble, if you wouldn't mind, sir, to come here just a moment. Brother Edgar, if you don't mind to come here. You're still standing, you can look this direction. We appreciate how the Lord speaks. And I know He's speaking to other people. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad that when nobody else knows what I'm going through, He already does. And He never scolds me. He may reprimand me. He may chasten me. But it's always in love. He's a gracious God. Where would we be without the grace of God? We wouldn't be here. That's a fact. I'm glad when people's hearts are ripping out of their chest. We've got some here, their hearts are ripping out of their chest, folks. They need help. God is the source of their strength. God is their help. God is their refuge. He's in. And He's yours too. I don't need this. Come see me in 6 months. See if you're saying the same thing.
I don't need this message. You know better, don't you? You know better. My, what heaven must be like. A place where there's no more discouragement, no more sin, no more disease, no more separation. I don't mean to play on his emotions. He's being dealt with here, but one of these dear men lost his wife about a year ago. I'm going to tell you what, I appreciate a man who still, his heart still breaks for his beloved darling that is left. Let me tell you something, if your mate's still living, you better hold him a little bit tighter tonight. There's no time to waste. Time is fleeing away. May the Lord help us drive this on our heart. Amen. Let's sing a verse of the page 89. Take a hymnal out. Turn to page 89. We'll sing this verse and pray and dismiss.
Here we go. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares.
Amen. That's a great little book, isn't it, Haggai? May the Lord drive it in our hearts. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask my brother-in-law if he doesn't mind. Dismiss us in prayer, Dave, if you don't mind to do this. And if you're a first-time guest, I want you to take your card out to the back, put it on the welcome table. We've got a special gift for you. Try to bring somebody with you on Wednesday night, this coming Sunday. Ask the Lord to meet with us in a great way. Brother Dave, you go right ahead.